This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. SiriusXM Channel 158 is Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland.
Hey,
it's a Fezzik Friday where he's already given us blackjack brain teasers or twisters or whatever they'll call
it. I very much enjoy the Steve Fezzik, brain teasers. I guess that's just the best because he's got different ones he throws at us.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole time.
He's that math teacher that tries to make math fun.
He does try to make math fun. But you know what I would argue? I would argue he is not pedantic, teacherish enough in his explanations to the common man.
I agree. I agree.
He always leaves out a certain clicking sentence.
Yeah, I know you're going to get to it with him, but in this one, I'm also pretty sure I've had this objection before where I think he led with this is not a trick question, but it's like kind of a trick question.
Yeah,
because it still depends on like table rules and all.
But then the whole drive in here, I apparently didn't read it correctly, so that's why I'm driving myself crazy. Anyway, that's for later. And Steve will talk, Steve Fezzik, and Fezzik Fridays will talk about that. And everything on his mind, prediction markets and beyond from Stevie today. NBA Finals Series player props game 5 tomorrow night. NBA Finals back in San Antonio. Chris Felica, World Cup and more. Wow, World Cups. I'm going to give a shout out to Joe Pita coming up here in this segment because this dude is ridiculous. College baseball, Matt Grissom, we're down to 8. Let's go. College baseball resumes today. And then UFC Freedom 250, Kelly, coming up this hour. And who better to chime in on UFC Freedom 250
Captain
on the White
Freedom.
House lawn than Captain America himself, Dave Ross?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we had Jensen on yesterday, so we feel bad. We want to give equal time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the real reason. Last night,
I would assume Dave's in attendance, right? He's got to be, right?
Oh, I think the president is
doesn't get a flying, personal invite?
Yeah. Flying Dave in on helicopter onto the helipad.
I believe. I think Dave is just going to parachute into the octagon. What should happen? It's what old Dave would have done.
And later we'll get Dave's thoughts on how his reaction would have been if another president had planned this. No, we won't do that. We'll be apolitical, I promise. Last night, Game 5, Stanley Cup Final. I mentioned earlier in the week that I felt like the air had been taken out of the Golden Knights fan base balloon, and you kind of concurred immediately.
Yeah.
Now, the fans aren't playing hockey, but let's just say that feeling was then sort of corroborated by the outcome last night. Hurricanes 4, Golden Knights 2, in what has just been an epic Stanley Cup final. Probably the most ho-hum of all the games, one might say.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina takes the 3-2 lead, heading back to T-Mobile here in Vegas Sunday night for game number 6.
The most ho-hum, but you can't give up on any of these games. You know
no,
what I mean?
You
like,
can't.
From what we've seen in the NBA and NHL, I mean, geez, JVT and I were texting the first quarter of the NBA Finals game the other night, like, well, I guess we were due for one dud. It's like, yeah, nope, not,
well,
not exactly.
Surely they'll keep this lead.
Right.
Pavel Dorofeev scores for the Golden Knights. The Knights were up 1-0 last night in Raleigh, and it looked like maybe this will be a great performance because, remember, Carolina had dominated the first periods. The Golden Knights had dominated the second periods. So the Golden Knights scoring first was a bit of a news flash. But Jordan Staal scored a goal to tie it up 1-1. And then Golden Knights killed a roughing penalty on Jeremy Lauzon, but Carolina went right back to the man advantage when Braden McNabb was whistled for the cross check and on Jackson Blake. Andrei Svechnikov. Go-ahead goal on the power play, made it 2-1, slapper from the left wing, past Carter Hart, 2-1 Carolina. 6 minutes later, nearly 6 minutes later then, Carolina takes a 3-1 lead on Sebastian Aho's wrist shot from the left circle, just over 2 minutes remaining in the second period, 3-1 Carolina, and you're like, oh no. And then William Karlsson, Golden Knights lifer, he left midway through the second period, left arm injury, never to return. Hit along the boards by Carolina's Sean Walker. And then Mark Stone called for a high-sticking double minor penalty. Stone inadvertently got his got the blade of his stick under the visor of Hurricanes' Jalen Chatfield. That was kind of scary. And so Svechnikov did what he does, scored his second power play goal of the game on that. Nikolai Ehlers found him. It was a nice little spinorama assist move by Ehlers on that. 4-1 Carolina at that point. And you were like, oh, no, if you're a Vegas backer, a Vegas fan. Dorofeev scored again, though, to make it 4-2 after Shea poked in a Shea Theodore rebound. And then Ehlers did shoot the puck. So 4-2 now. You got to empty the net. And then Ehlers shot the puck over the glass for a delay of game penalty. So there was a 6-on-4 man advantage for the Golden Knights, down 4-2 with 2 minutes left. And they nearly got another goal. Shea Theodore slap shot from the top of the circle, hit the crossbar. The rebound went to Tomas Hertl. He had an open corner of the net, but there it was. Brandon Bussey recovering quickly to block it with 1:20 left. The rest was academic. Carolina wins it 4-2. Again, 3-2 lead in the best of seven Stanley Cup final. Bussey stopped 23 of 25 shots. And for the second straight game, Frederik Andersen did not suit up, which is sort of the really weird sidebar to what this series has become. Rod Brind'Amour, once again, Hurricanes coach, said he wanted to give Andersen as much time off as possible so he would be fresh for the next time he played. It's a very strange sort of answer.
Well, I think he's going to be fresh for October, yeah.
Well, Bussey's certainly starting game six at this point. John Tortorella was asked, by the way, this is a side note that amused me because I asked this question of Jake Hahn yesterday. I was like, hey, this Golden Knights, do they need to think about a goaltending change? And he, very polite, because Jake is so polite, but you could tell he wanted to just laugh me off with that question. He's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. Well, apparently someone asked John Tortorella that very question after the game yesterday. Hey, are you going to put an Aiden Hall into this game, into this series at some point? And Tortorella responded with, quote, that is the stupidest question I have ever heard, unquote.
Wow.
So there you go. There's your answer.
Fair question. Carter Hart becomes first goalie in Stanley Cup final history to allow 4+ goals in each of the first 5 games?
What are you implying? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
How could that alone, with that stat, be the stupidest question ever?
Listen, I didn't think it was such a stupid question yesterday when I asked it of Jake, but then Stormy confirmed that it was kind of stupid after the show. I asked her. She was like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
You know what is crazy? Like, it's tough for me to figure out when these coaches think of that too, right? Because I often think when we're talking playoff hockey, they go to the backup or the second goalie, whatever. They go to the second goalie way quicker than they usually should. But like, it's 5 games, man. 4 goals.
Yeah. I don't know. Odds to win the Conn Smythe, by the way. Jordan Staal now with Carolina up 3-2. Jordan Staal becomes the favorite. Remember, he had the equalizer yesterday to knot it up at 1 apiece. -120. Staal has just been a scoring machine here. He's at -120. Mitch Marner's the only Golden Knight really in sight of this at +320. So if the Golden Knights are to come back and win this, Mitch Marner's your guy still at +320. Then it's Stankoven, Hall, and Ehlers for the Carolina Hurricanes. Remember, the last player on a losing team to win the Conn Smythe, losing Stanley Cup final team, back in, I want to say, was it 2024, I believe it was, for the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
David.
Connor McDavid, yeah. Connor McDavid in 2024. So that's the last time it's happened. So it can happen, but this would not be one of those, one would assume.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, Jordan Staal's looking like more of a bet here. I guess I'm a little confused by the odds. I know Conn Smythe, yes, different from NBA Finals MVP, right? We're looking at the entirety of the playoffs, but hey, -120 for a team that is what, -400. I mean, really, the question is if you like Carolina, wouldn't that be a bet? And the only thing you got to be concerned about, again, if you like Carolina, would be more to me, I guess, can any of these other guys get up to Jordan Staal? And I don't really know that we're at that point. So -120, might actually be a bet for me.
Game 6, Sunday, T-Mobile. The proverbial must-win situation for the Vegas Golden Knights. If they don't win, it is over. And the Carolina Hurricanes will win their second ever Stanley Cup in history. Yesterday, the World Cup began. 2 matches. And I just want to shout out my buddy Joe Pita, frequent guest on this show. We've had Joe on the show a myriad of times to talk about baseball primarily. Remember, he gave his baseball season win totals pre-flop this year. golf, obviously, wrote the book on the Masters analytics.
I had no idea Joe was a soccer guy, but it's also the least surprising thing to hear.
Well, Joe would not consider, I'll speak for Joe, maybe he'll disagree with it. Joe would not consider himself a pan soccer guy. He's a Premier League guy.
Mm-hmm.
He follows the Premier League passionately. I think one of his daughters goes to school in England, so he's really into it now also because he attends some matches over there. So just based on his knowledge of Premier League players. So yesterday, he texts me, I don't know, a little bit before. What were you watching there?
Sorry,
you're watching a little golf?
Almost nice chip in from Chris Rayton.
He texts me just a little bit before the games yesterday, and specifically just before the Mexico match.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, Gil, I'm going to go, he's like, I'm going to say 2-0. He actually texted it to me in Spanish.
Ah.
He's like, 2-0 Mexico. I'm like, huh, that sounds right to me. Let me, 8 minutes before the match, I'm like, 2-0 Mexico. 2-0 it is. By the way, nil is the correct soccer term, but he was speaking in Spanish. 2-0 Mexico wins. He also got one of the goal scorers directly on. But 2-0, that paid plus 485.
And that's a nice start to your day.
And then South Korea and Czechia.
Mm-hmm.
Swear to God.
Okay, what are we going with for the World Cup?
Swear to God, he texts me. He goes, I'm thinking about 2-1 South Korea. Korea trails 1-0. You could have gotten Korea, I think, at 7-1 at that point. They come back.
Just live.
They win it 2-1. So Joe Pita, back-to-back jams. By the way, that was a 10-1 payout.
Whew.
2-1 yesterday.
Whew.
Favor South Korea. I think we must get him on.
Yeah. Sounds like we should. Don't be afraid to text me too, Joe.
two games today. Canada, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and the United States of America.
And we got a survivor through.
And Paraguay. And South Korea is huge for our survivor.
Wins match one, but yeah.
A long way towards
getting one
through. Let's put it that way. Coming back on a numbers game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Championship season is here, and VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter for a limited time. Lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get. With full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, that means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, just 10 days away, we'll release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And you know I mean it when there's no music behind me, Kelly.
That's right.
That's right.
I've made my first two NFL bets.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, that's right. Did them yesterday. Started writing that up for the great Berkster, Adam Burke. Catch those in the NFL betting guide. Yeah.
Oh, you're not even going to share one with us.
I don't know. Believe me. I have met the two that I've bet. I have mentioned on this show 900 times. So.
Hey, do you have a Brooksy here in the?
I do have
RBC?
Brooksy.
You do?
I do have Brooksy outright.
Little one stroke lead here.
Okay. God, I'm so glad they cut to this guy. So I was texting Dave Ross, who we're about to bring on. I'm like, hey, Dave, who the hell is the leader of the golf tournament right now? When I walked in, old Matthew Anderson here from Canada was leading the tournament, and I've never heard of him before. Now, do you see how they're displaying his name, Gil?
Matt Dot Anderson.
M-A-T dot, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, one of the first things I did, because whenever you see this in sports, you're like, well, there must not only be multiple Andersons, there must be multiple M. Andersons, and then are there multiple, you know, M. A. Andersons, right? Mm-hmm. Why is the period there? I can't figure it out. He's the only Anderson in the field.
Maybe he's just cool like Anderson Pack, and he does that, puts a dot between his names. No?
Maybe.
Dave Ross, speak of the devil, joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. He is the co-host of By the Books, which precedes us each and every morning. He and Jensen Lewis, they do a fine job every morning. Dave comes to us from Kentucky, where he is stationed. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at drosssport. Three S's in a row right there. Dave, how you doing, man? Who do you have? Do you have a Kepka? You have
a little bit of Kepka
here?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I got a little Koepka with you boys. And, boy, it's fantastic being able to lean into you guys each and every day. We love your show as well. Thank you, Gil, for the equal time, having Jensen on yesterday, so I feel well represented. And I would say this as your next POTUS, Gil. If Kelly and I don't know who a leader is, in the second round of any golf tournament, they will be forbidden from winning if we have outrights on other golfers. I think that's a fair rule to start with. Let's go USA. Brooks Koepka, get it across the line.
How excited, by the way, for the World Cup? How excited do you get as a, as we call you Captain America, how excited do you get as a USA soccer fan?
You know, Gil, I'm never going to tell you a lie. I don't follow it every 4 years, but I will happily go to the bars and start chanting them. I believe that we will win. Because, you know, it's American exceptionalism that we want. So if we can bring this thing home somehow, or at least make a deep run into L.A. as the host country, I'm all about it. I don't know that I'm betting it, Gil, but every 4 years, yes, I am pro-USA soccer, and then you have to remind me in about 3.5 that it's coming up again.
Okay. Dave, when it comes to international sporting events and those that you root for the USA hardest in, is the Ryder Cup number one?
The Ryder, oh, my God.
Absolutely. Love the Ryder Cup. Yes.
The Ryder Cup needs to start paying Dave Ross. It's absurd. Like get Dave Ross on the payroll. He promotes your event better than any human being I've ever met.
Dave would like
send me over to Ireland, boys. Yeah, Dave, we're taking the cup back next year over there in Ireland. We're bringing it back to the United States.
Dave would like to settle every international conflict with a little golf matchup, I believe. All right, let's go.
That's the way we should do it, Gil.
UFC Freedom 250 on the White House lawn. This is Sunday. 7 fights. The main event, the lightweight title bout between Ilia Topuria and Justin Gaethje. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Gaethje is the kill or be killed kind of approach to every one of his fights. Does he have a puncher's chance here?
You know, Gil, it's interesting way you phrase it, because I think that's the way we perceive Gaethje at this point, kill or be killed. But the way that I'm playing this here is I don't know if Gaethje can win the fight. But if he extends the fight, I think he's got a chance to win it. And that's where it's one of my favorite plays on the card, maybe my favorite, is the over 7.5 minutes, which is a round and a half. You can get that about minus $1.10. I think it's not only a fair price, it's a price that I've hopped all over. And I know that what Ilia Topuria is saying, and he says it very coldly, and he puts out the rose for his opponents out there, like, I'm going to put you to bed quietly here and take care of things. And Topuria says, this is not going to see a second round. That's where I differ here. Now, Gaethje does have this kind of bores in with his head down, and sometimes that doesn't seem like it would be the best approach against a guy like Topuria. But I've also seen him fight very technically. And if he does that, he's got real skill. And the one thing that I look at this fight here is that Gaethje will be the naturally bigger man. There's just no other way around that. So Topuria, we remember, is coming up from 45 to 155 pounds here. That's where Justin Gaethje lives. And so I think that bigger frame, as durable as a guy like Justin Gaethje has shown, I'll be surprised. I've been surprised before. If he gets taken care of inside of the first 5 minutes, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think eventually Topuria does win this bout. But, guys, I think it's over 7.5 minutes. That's the respect level I give to a future Hall of Famer and a guy like Justin Gaethje. I think he can extend this fight deeper. And as it goes, live betting will be something to look at as well. But to me, pre-flop, if you will, I'm going to play that over 7.5 minutes, over a round and a half. That's the way I attack the main event.
By the way, Dave, maybe I should have started with this. You're a D.C. guy. You worked in D.C. You spent a lot of time there. You know how humid it is in the summer. You know the gnats and mosquitoes and how bad it is. Is this a thing in any of this, or is that just some nonsense that I would bring up?
No, Gil, you're exactly 1,000% correct. You know D.C. just like I do, and it's a real deal. And the fighters that I've talked to had Ricardo Lamas on. Shameless plug here. Please like, subscribe to First Strike with me and Rob Moreno. We have a blast doing the show every week. And we had Ricardo on, and he's, of course, one of the elite fighters ever at 145 pounds, has fought the very best in the world, including Max Holloway, who, of course, knocked out Justin Gaethje. So by proxy, you know, we know that he knows these fighters very well. And he said he has fought outside. It's a real deal. And you know that humidity at night. We're getting some conflicting reports on the weather, and I always wanted to be a pseudo-weather guy. So I don't know if it can cool down a little bit, but some reports are saying it might be, Gil. That's very hard to believe in June in Washington, D.C. on a Sunday night. But I do think it affects the heavyweights, the bigger boys in this card, like an Alex Pereira, like a Ciryl Gane, like a Josh Holkett or Derek Lewis. I think it's going to affect the big boys more deeper that the night goes here in Washington, D.C.
Okay, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this next fight. This is the co-main. Two names we recognize, Alex Pereira, Ciryl Gane. This is a virtual coin flip. Gane has a bit of a poke the other guy in the eye issue, doesn't he?
He's got a little Three Stooges, Gil, yeah. That he just likes keep the hands in Ciryl Gane. By the way, if he didn't do that and poke out Tom Aspinall, which ended up being a no contest over there in England, he'd be the heavyweight champion of the world because he was beating Tom Aspinall that night. And it did get me to the Ciryl Gane side here to win this fight against Alex Pereira. Now, Pereira, if you've seen the pictures, and they look spectacular, and he's shadow boxing there and doing some workouts with the Washington Monument behind him yesterday. He's standing in the octagon with the White House behind him. You can see that Alex Pereira loves this moment. You're not seeing a lot of that on the Ciryl Gane side. And I'm not saying that one guy's looking at this as a photo op and the other guy's looking at this as a business trip. But if Ciryl Gane, at this weight class, this is a blown-up heavyweight in Alex Pereira. The body doesn't look like it can handle the 255 frame that Pereira has. That's all Ciryl Gane here, guys. He's naturally this big, and he's fit for the division, and he's one of the most mobile heavyweights that we've seen in a long time. So if he doesn't foul Alex Pereira, I think he's going to beat Alex Pereira. So as long as he can keep the fingers in, Gil, I really like the Frenchman here. My heart is with the Brazilian. My head is with the Frenchman. I'm taking Ciryl Gane, played it at $1.10. I think it's a great price point to get.
Really a stupid question here. Do they kind of teach this, the poking thing? Like, is that a thing that sort of doesn't get, that sort of is, you're excited. What are you saying?
It's like the distance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like because they have not figured out, this is not boxing, right, where you have the gloves and only the thumb, they could get thumbing in boxing. But because they haven't figured out here, it's almost a natural pawing, Gil, that people do when they're either shadow or when they're actually sparring with people. It's almost like they put the hand out extended, and they got to get out of that habit to catch punches. That's what they do. And when they do that and the fingers are extended, you get the eye pokes as heads come in. So it's not a bad question at all. They haven't figured out how to remedy this yet because they want to have the smaller gloves here for the punching power and not go to the 8-ounce gloves and the 12-ounce gloves like they do in boxing. That's why you have 3-4-ounce gloves in MMA. So until they can figure it out, it's something they got to deal with. I'm glad, actually, even though I was on the Ciryl Gane side and that Tom Aspinall side of that fight, they shouldn't reward you for that. And Ciryl Gane should not have been rewarded that night. I was happy with the no contest here. It's a clear foul, and they got to call those fouls in MMA. Sometimes they let them go. I know we all say, oh, Aspinall could have gone on. You get your eye poked and see if you want to fight an elite heavyweight out there with one eye closed. It's not fair to the other fighters.
Dave, walk us 10 seconds each on these other three that you got here.
Sean O'Malley, I think, is just going to piece up Eamon Zahabi. I don't want to lay the big price point here, but I don't think he's in jeopardy of being knocked out. I do think that Michael Chandler here at almost 5-1 is a live dog here against the Brazilian, and I just think he can get inside of Mauricio Hoofy and make that really dangerous. Josh Hokit, we all want Derek Lewis to win. That heat's going to really affect, I think, Derek Lewis more than anybody. Hokit by KO, minus $1.20. And again, the main event, over $7.5 million. Survive Justin Gaethje. Don't brawl for five, and we'll be okay, boys.
Dave Ross, not only co-host of By the Books, but as he mentioned, co-host of First Strike, the podcast which he does with Rob Moreno. Dave, you know who the biggest poker, if VSiN hosts were UFC fighters? Kelly Bidlin. He'd be a poker.
No!
He'd be a poker.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
20 leagues, one mission. Just win bets, baby. Your premier source for daily sports betting picks. That's daily sports betting picks. They break down the date, so the data, so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code on your screen or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today. Start betting smarter with Just Win Bets Baby. The name says it all. And by that, we mean you don't only win, you also say baby at the end.
That's right.
Just Win Bets, baby. Scan that QR code for more. Great checking in with Dave Ross, by the way.
Love Dave. Miss him.
He should do just a podcast where he tells his old stories.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some, for sure. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. I'm going to Ron Burgundy through some of these. This is from Shrek McPhee, who has changed his name to Kelly Bin Laden here. Kelly, I don't know why he did that. Is there any early thoughts on Sinner minus 180 at Wimbledon to bump World Cup futures a bit? Can get France from 5-1 to 9-1. Great call staying off the grass this week, he said, by the way. It's a total crap show. Well, yeah, there's so much rain, first of all. All these matches getting delayed. Let's center-minded. Listen, he's the rightful favorite with Carlos Alcaraz not playing. Minus 180 is appropriate. And we don't fear the heat exhaustion that we would in France.
Speaking of rain, we kind of ran out of time with Dave. But yeah, Sunday night, Washington, D.C., 50% chance of rain.
Okay.
That might make things interesting.
Well, that could cool it off a bit.
Yeah, it is supposed to be warmer in the afternoon, high at 91. And then by the time we get into evening, it's supposed to be like 70. So yeah,
what's the humidity percentage is what you're really looking
for.
Yeah,
I do not have that in front of me right now.
Are you barometric pressure for us as well?
Do not have that either.
Scott Barbrack, good morning, gents. I love the show. Just a quick question. If you were holding a VGK to win series tickets, would you monetize? If so, how? Yeah, what does he have? 8-1 for five for a nickel, he said. Yeah, you're behind the eight ball right now.
Listen, no, I'm just holding on to it and riding it out at this point.
Behind
you're
the
laying minus 400 on Hurricanes.
This is always the conundrum with sports betting, right? You would revisit this after a Golden Knights win, if it happens in Game 6, and then, of course, your brain then would toggle to, why would I monetize it now? We can win it all, right? So it's the never-ending questioning inside your brain. Rich,
I'm going to keep bringing up the Matt Brown thing, though, because I think it's a great answer, and I don't do it enough, but like we get so many of these questions. Instead of betting that once, if you're betting it at a shop where there's cash out options, make that same bet five times, and then you could cash out one of them if you want and ride the other four.
Matt Brown, a little creativity. I like it. Rich Sports 1981. I hope Matt posts the graph for the College World Series. Talking about Matt Grissom coming up. Hope Matt Grissom posts the graph for the College World Series like last year. I used the info from that to cash several tickets in a sport that I have no clue about. The graph. Do you remember what he's talking about there for Matt? We'll ask Matt about that.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
Patrick Kelly. Stahl isn't. He said Stahl. Patrick Kelly says Jordan Stahl isn't winning the Conn Smythe. He said, love him. He's tearing up the Cup Series, but not the whole playoffs. Stankoven for Carolina. I'm still with him. Safe trip, Gil. Thank you. Appreciate it. This is from Sean Engel. Can confirm that watching Queens Club Tennis. Kelly and I love it. The brick building right on top of the court.
Yeah, where's it been?
He says, can confirm that watching Queens Club Tennis from the balcony really is something else. Oh, he's got pictures
for
us.
Flex.
Time to have free time today. Final time today, he says. They even serve afternoon tea.
Oh.
See menu. He's provided us with a menu as well. Would you prefer the scones with clotted cream and strawberry jam or the vanilla cheesecake with roasted fig? Let me repeat that.
Yeah, wait, what?
Scones with clotted cream, clotted as in like blood clot, and strawberry jam, or vanilla cheesecake with roasted fig.
What is clotted cream?
I will take the latter because I don't want to know what clotted cream is.
A thick, rich, and buttery cream from the West Country of England.
I'm out.
I would like to try both of those, please.
I'll do the latter. Joe C., our buddy.
You don't want to split them? You're not like no. Let's order two and we'll split them,
we'll
guy?
Split our Survivor entries. I am not splitting that dessert with you. Joe C714, being Korean, last night's game was amazing. They are undersized and don't have a true striker, but they can get into the final third. Yeah, I was pumped by it yesterday, obviously, living through our Survivor entries. And then, of course, Joe Pita's call, 2-1 South. Joe Pita with a 2-0 with Mexico and a 2-1 with South Korea yesterday. Dell, Mind the Gap Radio. While covering sports from 87 to 2013, the 2026 postseason ranks up there with the best ever. Must nightly viewing. My favorite postseason ever was the 1991 World Series, the Braves and the Twins. Yes, the Braves and the Twins, which went 7 games and is most notable from a betting standpoint as two teams that went from worst to first, which in those days you just never saw. Certainly don't see it very often these days, but in those days you never saw it, and it was just a betting boon for anybody who had those teams.
How much of a food sharer are you? I know we've shared some food,
question. But
like I was just thinking about this because I threw that out to you because I will do that a lot with desserts. Desserts and appetizers.
This is such
right?
a great question.
Desserts and appetizers. The more the merrier. Everybody dig in. Let's order a couple, try a couple things. My entree, Gil, I have picked it for a reason. I would like to eat that entire thing. I don't really feel like sharing it with anybody.
Bingo, exactly how I am.
Okay.
I think most people are like that. Most people are willing to share. By the way, this is that's how I'm phrasing it. Willing to share appetizers, willing to share desserts. Let's not do the entrees.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yep.
But if I really like an appetizer or a dessert, there's a little thing in my brain that goes, yeah, I'd kind of like it to myself too.
Or like, you know, if you just see Gil eating faster than you, there's always that guy, right? Like, oh, I guess you liked it because you kind of beat everybody to the punch.
I have a friend, Nico.
Yeah.
My friend Nico eats so fast.
I can't.
He inhales food. And I always say to him, I go, Nico, you can't possibly enjoy food as much as I do or anybody else. And he actually says, he goes, yeah, you're probably right.
That's my entire family. Any holiday dinner, every Thanksgiving ever ends with the same scene. Kelly's in the middle of some long-ass story with half of a plate full of food while everybody's just finished looking at me like, is this guy ever going to shut up?
My friend Nico, also familiar to longtime Numbers Game listeners, as my buddy who in seventh grade Spanish also unloaded the gem when we were conjugating verbs. We worked. He goes, thought about it for a few seconds and goes, Nosotros trabajamos.
Hey, checks out for me.
I'm pretty sure that pronunciation is not correct. Knicks and Spurs tomorrow night. It could be the end. It could be. The Knicks could win this series 4-1, or the Spurs could make us go back to New York City for the terror dome that is Manhattan during these Knicks games. My God, what's wrong with you people? And by you people, I mean Knicks fans. Spurs, again, if you're spinning this positive for the Spurs, who are 5-point favorites tomorrow night with a total of 217, the two things you are telling yourself is, A, and this probably isn't as big as B, but A, look, we got home court games 5 and 7. And I know home court hasn't mattered here really in any way, but let's just say we're back to a normal basketball universe. We do have home court games 5 and, if necessary, game 7. So if we win game 5, sphincter tightened for game 6 for the Knicks. But the other thing, and I said this yesterday a few times or a couple times, which is, of all teams that have ever trailed a best of 7 series in NBA history that are down 3-1, you can make as good a case as any for these Spurs as them probably being the most confident of any team down 3-1, given that they led by double digits in every single one of these games, including by 29 in game 4. And had a lead in the final 2 minutes of each and every one of these games as well.
I mean, they've got to be the only team.
They've got to be.
Down 3-1.
Yes.
At least for the final stat. To have a lead under 2 minutes in every game.
Bro. It's so now, again, we do acknowledge that the next thought in the head is, well, what lead makes us feel confident, right? There's got to be that thing in your head as well. But that's what you're telling yourself if you're the Spurs. Or as Victor Wembanyama said after game 4, well, this could go one of two ways. That is correct, Victor. You have correct. Nailed it again. It could go one of two ways. Any plays from you?
Yeah, I ended up playing the first quarter again with the Spurs. Going right back to that. They have covered in every game so far. It has not really been all of that close. Really, last game. Really, last game, the easiest one, Gil. And just we just ended up losing the game after that first quarter. It's incredible. I played that. We brought this up yesterday. The 5.5s quickly disappearing. This is mainly 5. I still see a couple out there, though. So if you are interested in the Knicks, look, I understand it. The emotional letdown. How do the Spurs bounce back after that type of game? Being blown the other night, like I understand that question. I think if you were interested in the Knicks, I completely understand why you would think they could close things out tomorrow night. I think full game, it's very coin flippy to me, Gil, and I'm going to stay out of betting the side full game. Total, man, I've been kind of leaning over every game of this series, and now seeing this total like tick up a point, 217. I would say I'm leaning under at this point. We are, reminder, last 4 postseasons, 21-6 to the under in the NBA Finals. I would expect a lower scoring game tomorrow night.
And we've said this, and I think we are correct to say this, much like the Stanley Cup Final, where I don't know how you really truly make a case pre-flop for either team with tremendous conviction. We may have gotten to that point with this series as well. It's okay to say that. Game 5, tomorrow night, San Antonio, Texas. Let's go Spurs. Still got that ticket on you. It's on life support, but it's still alive. Matt Grissom, College Baseball Bets next.
A
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Pardon me, Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy.
Hello.
Adam Carolla, rich guy, poor guy. Should we add some to the kitty?
What do you got? Is that what you're just working on?
I wasn't working on it. I was just sort of like, because the ones we gave out yesterday on the show, and you never know what hits with people. Yesterday we said
Noah Judge by first name. That's my favorite one.
We said showers outside. Again, what do rich folks and poor folks have in common? It's the Adam Carolla bit, the bit that just keeps right. Showers outside, has a ladder with wheels. These are the ones we gave out yesterday. Had lunch with Bono, has a rapper for a neighbor, and is on a first-name basis with the judge, your favorite. let's see. You both drink brands of alcohol no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, that's a good one. Carolla.
When you leave the stadium, you get a police escort. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant bit. When you enter a high-end store, someone runs over and says, "May I help you?"
God.
Very true too. That's absolutely right. And here's probably his. This would be Carolla's favorite. Both greatly impacted by the minimum wage, and on and on. You never know what resonates. Kelly was talking about sharing food, and of course, that's what everybody wants to talk about. First of all, the menu over there at Queen's Club, Stephen 365. I'm from Nottinghamshire.
Nice.
So it'll be the Bramley apple option for me, please, on the menu. Bramley apple. That sounds good. Fred Courier says, no clotting cream here either, Gil. I'm with you, Fred. Colin Murphy about sharing food. He says, amen to your food sharing take. I am all set with sharing a bunch of tapas with a group. I eat faster and more than the vast majority of people, so I feel bad taking more than the others, and I hate leaving a restaurant hungry. Give me my entree. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dan Groeschel. Oh, Dan, I can relate to this. He says, back when I was dating my wife. First of all, let me just break that down. Back when I was dating my wife, he said, I would go along with her wanting to try something new when we would go out to dinner. She would get something safe. I'd get something new. We'd split the dishes if she liked what I ordered. That's my life as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He says, hashtag don't recommend.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah. Major League Baseball, June most wins update. I think we need to just throw this out there because Mariners did win yesterday, but the Mariners are what, like 5 wins behind one of my worst monthlies so far. Anyway, at this point in the season, the Mariners last month, by the way, finished 4 wins out, never had a shot, but it wasn't nearly as bad as it felt like at the beginning. It was a cosmetic 4 wins out. Cubbies aren't getting anywhere close. Did I say Mariners? Cubbies this month are 5 wins back already. The Miami Marlins, Kelly. At 8-1, I mean, come on, who saw this coming? They weren't even on the radar. Tigers, also perhaps not on anyone's radar. 7-2, along with the Phillies, one of the huge suspects at 7-2, and then you see a slew of teams with 6 wins: Cardinals, Rangers, both 6-3, Brewers, Dodgers, Royals, all 6-4. Tigers with the best run differential. Tigers, Brewers with the best run differential. Remember at William Hill Caesars. If there's a tie at the end of the most wins monthly market, there's a dead heat. Dead heat rules apply. At Circa, tiebreakers, fewest losses, followed by best run differential. Tiebreakers 1-2.
Updated odds here over at DraftKings. Phillies plus 250. Dodgers plus 425. Then you get to the Marlins plus 550. Tigers plus 660. Rangers 12-1, Yankees 12-1, Brewers 12-1, Mariners 20-1, and the Cardinals are all the way down at 25-1.
Might you be interested to know what the Marlins pre-flop odds were?
Yes, I would.
Take a guess.
Let's go with.
Let's do a William Hill Caesars and they're almost the same thing.
50-1.
75-1.
Okay.
At William Hill Caesars, 80-1 at Circa. Anybody who rolled with the Marlins right now at 8-1 so far in June.
Better chance of keeping this up, Marlins or Tigers?
Great question. I'd have to look at the schedule. I would have to look at the schedule here. My instinct was to say Tigers immediately, but I don't know.
This feels like a major or just any golf tournament that Scottie Scheffler's in, and he's like five shots back, where you're like, the Dodgers 6-4, bottom of this graphic, and second on the odds board, plus 425.
Tigers are a trio of games at Cleveland, then three at Houston, then three at home versus the White Sox, three at home versus the Yankees, four at home versus the Astros, then back to two in the Bronx. So Tigers sort of a good and bad. I can't really definitively say that schedule stands out either way. The Marlins, who beat the Diamondbacks 2-0 yesterday, and again, who just all of a sudden turned it on, a five-game winning streak, 8 of 9 now to begin the month. They conclude this month, I know we're not even halfway through, but the rest of their schedule this month, 3 at Pittsburgh, 3 at Philly, that's not easy, those six, then it's 3 at home against the Giants, 3 at home against the Rangers, 3 on the road at St. Louis, followed by 2 at Coors. I'd say slight advantage Marlins on the schedule. What are the Marlins' current odds? What were they again?
They are 550.
Plus 550. So from 80 and 75 to 1 to plus 550. Yeah, I don't like that.
not
they're still
fun.
The Marlins, last I checked, right?
Yeah. Are you surprised the Phillies are as short as they are? Plus 250.
No, because if you look at that bunch of teams at the top there, they're clearly the most, with the exception of the Brewers and Dodgers, obviously, they're clearly the most universally recognized as being good.
And then Brewers must have a tough schedule because they're at 12-1. Phillies and Brewers, three-game set starting today. So that will be huge for this market.
Worst starts to this particular month, by the way. It is not the Cubs, thankfully, although the Cubs are vying for it. The Cincinnati Reds. Remember our red legs back in March, April? Reds are 2-7 this month. Red Sox are 2-6.
Oh, Danny supplying me with the race to 10 wins odds, too.
Okay, race to 10 wins odds where the Marlins are on the, not quite on the doorstep, but they're on the stoop. Let's put it that way.
Even money.
Even money.
Phillies plus 450. Tigers 7-1.
Oh, wait, this is way more interesting.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
This is.
Yeah.
Tigers 7-1. Just need three wins here. Dodgers, then a big drop. Dodgers 17-1.
Okay, so let's do that. Marlins at even money. Three game set at Pittsburgh this weekend. Do the next one. What's the next one?
So 2 of 3. Win 2 of 3 in Pittsburgh, and you're getting this one. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Phillies plus 450.
Phillies plus 450. I wasn't prepared for the best of 10. Pardon me.
And they have
doing some fly here.
They have Brewers, I just said, right? Yeah, they have the Brewers.
Phillies and Brewers. So that's tough, right? So that kind of negates both of those clubs.
Man. And then Tigers 7-1.
Tigers 7-1, as I just mentioned, 3 at Cleveland. There's your play. That's got to be your play. Tigers 1, I get it. Marlins are at 8. They only need 2 wins. Tigers are at 7. They only need 3 wins. I'll take the Tigers at the Guardians at 7-1 versus the Marlins at the Pirates at even money. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the play. And remember when we're getting those Tarek Skubal tweets yesterday. Tarek Skubal starts, his first start back is tomorrow. And folks were asking, hey, Skubal 30-1 Cy Young, is that worth a shot? And I said, absolutely it is. But recognize that what you're betting is for the Tigers to get back in the division race.
Right.
So that they, so that they're incentivized to keep things intact. That's pretty interesting. 7-1 on the Tigers? That's the play. There's the bet. I knew we'd get we didn't get one in the monthly market, but that's the bet here.
I like that.
And you said the Dodgers at 6 are 17-1? It's so interesting. It's just a race to 10.
Yeah, 17. Yep.
7 seems so close and 6 seems so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Our residential Brit, Alex Blauer, is chiming in on the clotted cream conversation.
Oh, okay.
He says, clotted cream is thick but delicious.
Thick but delicious. Mm-hmm. That does not appeal to me anymore. you did not get me into the clotted cream camp with that description.
Also, it wasn't very thick. Descriptive. I could figure that out by looking at it.
Thick but delicious sounds like it's describing something else.
Yeah, that's what I texted him back, yeah.
Dodgers, for those wondering, just getting
get
back to that.
Get all Alex's World Cup coverage at VSiN.com.
Oh,
right,
Alex,
Danny? He's writing regularly, right?
Yeah.
Every day? 3 times a day? 3 articles a day? Wow, that's insane.
How many times per article does Alex throw in the phrase, England hasn't won a World Cup since 1966?
I like to keep over-promising work here.
Yeah.
Alex is right. I have no idea how much. Not three times a day.
You should just make up a... expect at least four articles from him
every
day.
He's actually live on YouTube for every match of the World Cup. It's bizarre.
Dodgers, by the way, at 6-4 are at the White Sox for a three-game set if you're interested in the Dodgers at 17-1. I would go Tigers with that. You know how I feel about the Guardians. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Scooble's pitching tomorrow.
I mean, look, it's going to be a tight race with the Marlins, right? But 7-1, sure.
But 7-1, one win back, and you have Scooble pitching tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the Guardians. Give me that. Give me that. Marlins are at the Pirates.
I wonder if Skeens goes.
Chris Felica has more and more World Cup bets next. Yes, he do. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.